We delivered the first load to the Fichte bunker. This was an old circular military barracks used by the Nazis during the war and now converted into homes for refugees. It was Corrie's first glimpse of the squalor of the camps, and that night she could not eat. I purposely saved the Volksmarstrasse camp for the second day because it was even worse. This old factory building must have held 5,000 people. Conditions were so desperate that a girl would sell her body for 50 pfennig, about 15 cents. As we carried our bundles of clothing to the distribution centre, a group of youngsters leaned out of a window and dumped garbage over us. "Don't be angry at them," I said to Corrie as I brushed rotting lettuce leaves off her coat. "They have literally nothing to do here but think up mischief." But to me, the saddest of all the camps was the Henri Dunant. Corrie and I went there last. This camp, named after the founder of the Red Cross, was where so many professionals, especially teachers, were sent. The camp made me sad not because it was physically any worse than the rest, but because the people in it tried harder to retain their traditions, and this made the inevitable failures more poignant. I came out of the director's office that afternoon to find Corrie talking with a grey-haired East German lady who said her name was Henrietta. There was something in her manner that reminded me of Miss Meikle. We found a relatively uncrowded corner and sat talking for an hour. Henrietta told us that she had been a teacher of 13 and 14-year-olds in Saxony and that this was where the trouble lay. "If I had been teaching 6 or 7-year-olds, I might have been able to close my eyes," she said. "But no, I had them right at the time of the Jugendwehr."
"The Jugendwehr?"
"Yes, you see," said Henrietta, "I'm a Lutheran. In our church, confirmation is a very big thing in a child's life, perhaps the biggest single day. There are gifts and speeches and congratulations and new privileges, like long pants for the boys. It's a religious day above all. Vows are taken, promises made." And then Henrietta told us about the Jugendwehr, the youth consecration. I could see right away that it was an extremely clever attack against the church. The government substituted a ceremony of its own for the Christian confirmation. "In the Jugendwehr, it is the state rather than God to whom vows are made," said Henrietta, "and the state makes a very big thing of the solemnity and binding quality of these promises. Teachers are expected to spend a year preparing students to take part in it." I could see what had happened before Henrietta spoke. "And you refused," I said. "I refused." "That was a brave thing to do." Henrietta laughed. "No," she said, "I certainly am not brave. I was just a schoolteacher about to retire. I'm not a martyr."